Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN, live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic day. We can finish our week strong, head into the weekend with a couple winners. We have MLB Dream joining the show today, one of my favorite dudes in the industry. We are going to preview the World Series. We've touched on it a little bit here on this show. We presented the World Series MVP props, the series prices. Today is game one, Justin Verlander up against Aaron Nola. The Astros, of course, are favored. It's Friday, bats. The Astros are favored, of course, to win the series, to win game one in Houston tonight. They've yet to lose here in the postseason. We'll touch on it with Dream. We're going to present again the World Series MVP odds. I got a couple like little fun props too. I don't know. We'll just have some fun. You know, DraftKings has a lot of just, you know, this player versus that player, RBIs, hits, homers, little things like that. Most hits in the World Series. And we'll dive into it with Dream. But as I mentioned, tonight is game one happening in Houston, Verlander and Aaron Nola. And the total's like 6.5, 7. So two stud arms on the bump, but Verlander hasn't looked that good. Really, like, that's the one thing. When the Astros haven't lost a game, they're one of three teams in the wildcard era to go perfect heading into the World Series. Mind you, those two teams lost, the Rockies and the Royals. I think the Rockies, again, I said it yesterday, I think it was like 2007 and 2014 for the Royals. And the Phillies are coming in red hot. I mean, they're really feeling it. Bryce Harper's been phenomenal here in the playoffs. Phillies haven't lost a game at Citizens Bank. So it should be a really fun World Series. And I hope it goes the distance. I don't want to see a sweep unless it's the Phillies. 6 or 7, even the Phillies, whatever. Like, I have no ties to either team. I would like to see the Phillies win because I'm sick of the Astros. But honestly, I'd just love to see postseason ball, 6, 7 games. Give me that. Give us all that. Hello, Albert in the house. Deesh, last night's first half had me worried in the football game. For Lamar, I think you're a big Lamar owner. You know, yesterday went pretty good on this show. I know it was bummed earlier in the week. It's all about trying to find some consistency. I just don't like giving losers for people. Like, I can lose money all, like, obviously I don't want to do that, but I don't want anybody else to lose money watching this show. And yesterday was pretty good for us. I mean, we were on the Bucs. Just another dud game from Tampa Bay's offense. You know, it's not all on Brady. He's missing a couple throws. He's certainly underthrowing guys, and he's not on the same page with certain players. Like, Mike Evans and him weren't on the same page last night, even though Evans had a decent game. It just, there's holes defensively on this squad. The offensive line is not good. And I have major concerns about the Bucs now moving forward. I mean, this is 3 straight losses. The first time ever Tom Brady's lost 3 straight. The first time ever he's been 2 games under 500 at this point in the season. A lot of mistakes from the squad. It looked like they started off pretty strong. And then just in the second half, Baltimore kept taking it to them. And a lot of plays run defensively. They looked aghast on that side of the ball. Todd Bowles is a good defensive coach. I don't think he's a good head coach. Like, I don't think he's a good head coach. There's just so much going on there. Again, there's a lot of injuries that have happened. I believe another one, Barrett, isn't he done for the season too? I think I saw that surface late last night. Bucks are in trouble. And we said it earlier in the week. I think it was on Set Bet Spike with Eric Young, and that's going to come your way a little bit later on FTN Network and our Game Plus Network as well, part of Anthem Sports Entertainment. We said that the Carolina Panthers had traded their best player away in Chris McCaffrey last week. They're one game back of the division lead in the NFC South. If they win, heck, forget if they win. The winner of the Falcons and the Panthers this weekend, the Carolina Panthers and the Atlanta Falcons, the winner of that matchup this weekend will lead the NFC South. And if the Saints find a way to beat, looks like, a depleted Las Vegas Raiders squad, and I am on the Raiders. I put them in the tracker. I'm going to talk about them a little bit later on. There's a lot of dudes that are sick and questionable, but I think they'll be fine here this weekend against the Saints. If the Saints find a way to win, then we could have like a 3-way tie or something silly up at the top of the NFC South. I still think the Bucs are going to make the playoffs. But my goodness, they don't look good at all. But last night, I think, went pretty well. I mean, besides having Tampa on the money line. We had Fournette receiving yards. We got lucky with that one, not going to lie. And sometimes you need a little bit of luck on our side. We had a couple garbage time targets and catches for Leonard Fournette. We had that. We had Mike Evans. We had Gus Bus. And he went down after that run. He had a long run to get us over the 44 and a half rushing yards. And then he went down, and I think he's dealing with a hamstring injury. And what do we always say on this show, guys? Don't be dropping the next man up at the running back position. One of the most dropped players when we talked on Wednesday. Who was it? Kenyon Drake. Now everybody's going to try to get Kenyon Drake on the waiver wire. We've seen it so many times. Kenneth Walker, Michael Carter, Kenyon Drake here now. There's other backs too off the top of my head. Not off the top of my head, obviously, that have went down, and other backs that have been dropped. You know, all of a sudden there's something. So again, I just want to preach that running back depth is super important, especially for a stretch run in fantasy football playoffs. And people are thinking about dropping AJ Dillon. Don't start AJ Dillon. Just don't drop him. You know what I mean? Because if Aaron Jones goes down, then all of a sudden you have a running back that's probably going to fall into 20 touches a game. So I just be careful with these running backs. Don't drop them. Albert, do you like Foreman this week with Chuba Hubbard being ruled out? Absolutely. I love Foreman this week. I love Foreman, even if Chuba Hubbard isn't ruled out. I think he's the better back. I think he's the pass catching back inside this offense. And Carolina, most times they're going to be down. I think we talked earlier that they were a weak, they were a 6-point dog, and I jumped all over that, like not with confidence, but 6 points is a lot for the Falcons. And I think it's moved to 4, and I still believe Carolina will cover that game. And if they're down in the game, then Foreman, right? So if Chuba is ruled out, then Foreman is, he's like late teens, low on RB2 for me. I would play him. I would play him, Albert. And you know what? I would play him over Hubert. What did I call him? That Hubert. I called him that yesterday too. Chuba Hubbard. Oh my goodness. Deesh, hoping the time helps Bateman get right. Started off promising between that and Andrews, they might make a move. Yeah, Isaiah Likely, the preseason darling, had a game yesterday. And if Andrews misses some time, I mean, Likely got a lot of snaps. He was running routes basically on every drop back from Lamar Jackson, and he looks good, right? He means a big body tight end can go up and get it. He was drafted this past year by the Ravens. Yeah, I have some shares of Bateman, and I'm a little worried about him. He needs to take some time off. He needs to take some more time off. When he's playing, he seems like he's productive, right? He had a couple touchdowns the first couple weeks of the season as well. But yeah, again, back to last night, didn't get everything right. You know, the Bucs really did, you know, that burned me to have Tampa money line. Want to give a right money line play. And then Kate Otten was our guy yesterday too. We had him for receiving yards. I had him for an anytime touchdown. He did score a touchdown, but there was a PI call. I think it was a holding call in the offensive line. And then he dropped a 2-point combo. But I mean, it is what it is. I still like him overall as a player moving forward. Probably not, you know, as a starting option in 12 team leagues, but you know, people roll out tight end premium leagues, you know, things like that. I think he can have still on your radar, or, you know, on your roster potentially. I don't know if Cameron Brate's going to come back. A couple concussions over the past couple weeks. He may miss some time. We got some NHL picks on the show yesterday. Again, pretty good day. Went 5 for 6 for props. We had a really good day over at the FTM Bet Tracker. I'll shout out the free article Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's 8-1 on the season. We went perfect on that article, 3 for 3. It's not always going to be like that, guys. We always hold ourselves accountable. Take the losses. I was crying the other day because of all the losses in the NHL. So it's all about consistency. It's been good, bad, 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 good. We need to have a couple good days in a row. We had a same game parlay yesterday that hit for the Oilers at +650. We were David Krejci assist away from a 9-1 same game parlay, but we're going to try to have a second day in a row that's decent. So I have some NHL props with you. As I mentioned, Dream is hanging by. And I got some week 8 picks against the spread and NFL props as well. Any starting sick questions, guys, leave them here. We will address them. We'll take a quick break. We got a couple stats I want to show you. Unfortunately, Chase is going to miss some time. It just, injuries are awful. They stink. Yeah, going up against Chase, you know, a little bit of a smile on your face this week. You're not going to face him. But at the end of the day, we want to see the best players in the NFL on the field. And Jamar Chase is going to miss a little bit of time here. So we'll talk about Tyler Boyd, what it means for Joe Mixon and the Bengals moving forward. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Those that are actually hanging out with us live on our FTN Network YouTube page, I don't know if you guys are able to see the commercials there. Quan's done some good stuff for us. And Prize Picks, the prop show is really cool. You know, I got to give a big shout out to Michael Govier and Kyle Murray and Stuart Durst. These guys are getting together and they're putting out, you know, quick little Prize Picks hits, And the college basketball or college basketball, I mean, it's around the corner next week. We're actually going to have Walter Waddell join us. We'll do a little bit of a college preview. And I want to give a shout out to Mike Randall as well. I mean, the college basketball guide, shout out to Randall and our guy, George, who makes everything look so fantastic on this show and over at, you know, FTM Bets and Fantasy and Daily.com. Randall put in a lot of work. It's probably one of the most detailed college basketball things I've ever seen in my life. It's wild. There's like massive player profiles for almost everybody, I think, that's going to play this season, teams and everything to kind of get you set if you play in, you know, if you're just a big college basketball fan in general, I think you'll get a lot from it. But yeah, some DFS and some betting advice. I know some people playing some college basketball pools and things like that. So I was reading it last night, and I don't want to say like I'm a huge college basketball fan. I mean, I watch my Jayhawks and I keep tabs on everything, but I mean, I'm not comfortable enough giving picks and things like that. We'll have people come on the show and give some picks, but I read it last night and it kind of got me a little fired up for the season and in tune for everything as well. But the Prize Picks prop show next week, we're going to start having picks every day, little quick shows like NBA, NFL, NHL to kind of get you covered, college football, college basketball. If you're unfamiliar with Prize Picks, it's a simple over under on a player's prop or their fantasy score. You don't even have to go perfect. You get the George special, right? 3 for 4, 4 for 5, and still earn yourself a little bit of a profit. Promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. And we have a free Prize Picks pick tracker over at FTNDaily.com. Something else that we have is a free Prize Picks Discord channel as well. If you visit FTNDaily.com and you click the chat link up at the top, they'll match your first. You get in there and then they'll match your first deposit. You can just deposit, refer a friend, $25, things like that. But the Prize Picks Discord channel is, you know, it's very active, and you can mix and match across all the sports. You can pick an NHL play tonight, NBA play, and an NFL play for the weekend. I wanted to bring up the stat that we had, Tyler, that we talked in the green room. There's a bunch of cool stats here. We could just rapid fire through them. I wanted to show off a few things that FTN has to offer. I mean, with some of our tools, and then, you know, some of the work that George has done and other people taking a look at certain statistics. So, Tyler, if you have some of them, we could just kind of rapid fire through, just give you guys a little bit of a feel here. So RB expected fantasy points leaders, and then in brackets, the actual fantasy points. So, like, you know, on the left side, you see Austin Eckler there. You could say he's been a little lucky. He's been fantastic, right? I mean, RB1, RB1, RB2 finish over the last couple of weeks. I just traded him straight up in a dynasty league, in a 16-team dynasty league for Jalen Hurts. I just needed a quarterback. I really did. And the shelf life for running backs are not as long as, you know, you'd like them to be. And Eckler isn't, I guess, your prototypical 20-carry running back, you know, 12 targets last week or 12 catches. And he's very valuable in a full-point setting. And that's why I think you see like the actual fantasy points because of what he does through the air. So the actual versus what he has or what he's expected to have for moving forward. I mean, Keenan Allen can't stay healthy. Mike Williams is going to miss some time. Joshua Palmer missed last week. He's dealing with an injury. You know, Austin Eckler is probably going to set an NFL record this season in terms of catches. I believe he's on pace for 123, 125. He's a beast. On the right side, you know, we saw Fournette last night find the end zone. I don't have a lot of takeaways from last night besides what I said. I mean, Lamar ran around a bit. He got it done on a couple nice drives. You know, not really throwing to anybody. Daily Handle's boy Duvernay with a couple of end arounds, he scored. And then Isaiah Likely, right, on the other side for the Bucks. You know, there may be a time where they officially turn the page on Fournette and go Rashad White. He looked good, more efficient running the ball, a couple targets here and there. But Fournette is the veteran back, and he got the goal line work last night, and he found the end zone. The guy here that I do believe is a good buy low candidate, I felt this for, you know, basically all season, because the first few weeks of the season, I think the biggest thing here with the points and the expected points is because this guy has had a lot of work inside the red zone, like red zone rushing attempts. He's had a ton. I'm trying to find him off the top of my head. I should have had it, but I believe he's in the top five here in red zone rushing attempts, and a lot of them, you know, inside the 10. Yes, he has 23 red zone rushing attempts, which is the most among running backs in the NFL. Of course, Jalen Hurts is number one with 24 red zone rushing attempts. So Mixon has 71% of his team's rushing attempts inside the red zone. For example, Nick Chubb has 46% of his team's red zone rushing attempts. Saquon Barkley has 52% of his team's red zone rushing attempts. Jacobs has 90%. So Mixon is getting all that work inside the 20. And he only has two touchdowns there. So that's part of it, I do believe, personally, is a guy who's getting a lot of play inside the red zone, is not finding a way to get in. And Mixon, 10 carries inside the five. That's number one among running backs. Again, Jalen Hurts is right there. Carries inside the 10. Joe Mixon, number one in the NFL, 19. And the second guy of running back is Josh Jacobs with 13. So only two touchdowns inside the 10 for Joe Mixon. So he's been a little bit unlucky. And they haven't really been using him as much as, you know, I think that they should. Last year, they used him a lot. And I think that was because of Joe Burrow. Honestly, Joe Burrow kind of like leave the training wheels on him for a bit coming off the injury. You know, they played at a bit of a slower pace and then they took the wheels off and Joe Burrow, you know, started to chuck. But for Joe Mixon, you probably can't get him now as a running back to target as a buy low candidate. But I expect his usage to go up significantly here over the next few weeks with Ja'Marr Chase sideline. First of all, a matchup this week is phenomenal on Monday night against the Browns. The Browns are not very good at stopping the run this season. And for Joe Mixon, look at some of the games. Like, not super efficient. 27 for 82, 19 for 57, 12 for 24, 24 for 61, 8 for 45 is a good efficiency day, 17 for 58. A lot of those games I just talked about, 3.4 yards per attempt, 2.5, 2, 3, and 3. So not really super efficient. And only one game over the last few weeks with more than 17 carries. I'd say this week is a game where he touches the ball 20 times. He gets over 50 rushing yards. If he continues to get some red zone rushing attempts, he's going to convert for some touchdowns. Like I said, he only has two on the season. And the targets will probably go up for him as well. I was looking for a prop for him to share with you guys today. But of course, that game's on Monday Night Football. So wait for it on Monday. Halloween, we'll get nuts. We'll get crazy. We'll get spooky. We'll get crazy with some of these props. But Joe Mixon is a guy that I certainly would target. And moving forward, Tyler Boyd. I know he's probably not available. I saw his ownership yesterday, 74% in Yahoo leagues. But wide receiver 13 on the season. T. Higgins is like wide receiver 23. Chase was a top five guy. Rocket ship emoji up for Joe Mixon. What else do you have there, Tyler? I glanced through. We have like 8 or 9 of these. I think we should share some of them with people here. We got Dream on in a couple minutes. We'll break and we'll get him in. Contested target leaders, DK Metcalf, 18, Devontae Adams there, Mike Williams, and Michael Pittman, Zach Ertz. You know, people probably a little bit worried about Michael Pittman with Ellinger on making his NFL debut here this week. I wouldn't worry too much about Pittman. I'd roll him out. I got him ranked as wide receiver 19. You know, I think he's quarterback proof. You know, Sam can run around a bit. Maybe he extends plays with his legs. I think Washington wins the game here this weekend, but I would definitely play Pittman. Let's roll through another one. Mike Williams is always, you know, among the leaders there. Highest week 7 pass rates. This is from obviously last week with Pitt there at 72%. Tampa's always going to be there, and the Bengals may, you know, scale it back a little bit. I'd like to see the Packers run the rock. I've said that so many times. Run the ball. That's neutral situations there. 35 minimum plays. I would expect the Steelers to be on this list again. Najee Harris looked like he was okay last week, past couple weeks. It seems like he's trending up a bit. I'd sell high if he could. But against the Eagles this week and their 11-point dogs, I'd say they pass. But it's not going to be easy for Pickett and Pickens because, I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. I personally think the best cornerback duo in the league is Darius Slay and Bradbury, those two. So Slay is going to be all over Deontay and Bradbury is going to be all over Pickens. So I think it could be a Pat Freiermuth game and a couple of catches out of the backfield for Najee Harris. Next one. We got one more and we'll break and we can bring a couple up. Week 7 air yard leaders. Okay, Mike Evans, Chris Olave, Tyreek Hill, Cortland Sutton, DeAndre Hopkins. It was interesting to see Hopkins there. He played a lot in the slot, which is something that he didn't really do all that much of last season. We'll see if that continues. He's not going to be a big A-dot guy. He get his shots down the field here and there. But I don't believe he has the separation like he used to have. Olave is like wheels up, right? This guy has been a beast over the past couple of weeks. Michael Thomas, this season could be done. Jarvis Landry can't stay on the field. So Olave in a really good spot against a weak secondary in Las Vegas this week. And I do like Sutton. I still think Sutton is a good buy low candidate. He continues to get targets down the field. Judy showed up last week, but you know it does sound like Russ will be back. And his favorite guy has been Cortland Sutton. We'll break. Maybe we can revisit a couple more of those. As I said, I got week 8 picks against the spread, NFL props. We're going to break, bring in MLB Dream, and just take an early look here. Well, I guess it's not that early because it's happening tonight. Fall Classic, Game 1, Phillies and Astros. Get Dream's thoughts. Who he thinks is going to win tonight. win the World Series, MVP stuff, and maybe some fun little props here with Dream. Keeper Lock, we'll be back in a couple. Welcome back. Yeah, there's the GOAT, MLB Dream, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, World Series Fall Classic, my friend, happening tonight. Astros and Phillies. Before we get into like some picks and stuff, how surprised are you with this run from the Philadelphia Phillies that they've been on, like squeaking into the playoffs, not losing any games at home? Citizens Bank looks fantastic. We could say all we want. Astros, I don't think anybody is shocked that the Astros are back here. But the Phillies, man, it's been a pretty fun ride. What have you made of their journey here?
Yeah, no, for sure. When, you know, I get asked a bunch of questions, and who do you like to make to the World Series? Who do you like in the playoffs? And I've been pretty boring for the last couple of months. I'm like, hey, I like the chalk. I think the Dodgers and Astros will end up meeting there. And, you know, like most people, I didn't give the Phillies much of a shot here. But, man, you mentioned that crowd at home. It's really awesome to get texts from people that aren't really big baseball fans, and they're just talking about the atmosphere and how crazy, you know, the Phillies fans are going. And of course, Harper's at bat. I mean, that was just perfect, like pretty much movie-esque with that, you know, bottom of the eighth, flipping the series back around. But yeah, I didn't give the Phillies much of a chance to get here. It was mostly because of their bullpen. And, you know, I've seen a couple people compare them to the Nationals of 2019, because a lot of people didn't give the Nats much of a chance then because of their bullpen as well.
Yeah, and the bullpen's looked good in the playoffs. I mean, the defense has been improved, right? I mean, Brendan Marsh, he's not a great bat, but he's a good fielder. I mean, I said it firsthand. Like, he's a really good fielder and gives him a little bit of stability in center. I really have kind of – not that I was a Bryce Harper hater. I never was. All those Trout and Harper comparisons early on in the career I always thought were jokes. But, man, Harper has really kind of turned it around. Sometimes he comes across as like me, cocky. But after he won like the NLCS MVP, and just hearing him talk about the fan base and all his teammates, like all the reporters just wanted to talk about him and all his accomplishments and how fantastic he's been the postseason. And he just kind of turned it around immediately, you know, to the team and defensively and the fan base. And, you know, he was talking about when he was a member of the Washington Nationals and he came to Citizens Bank and he was booed, and he's just like immediately in his head, like, this is awesome. Like, this is a place I want to be because the fan base is super intense. And yeah, it should be rocking there. And on the other side, I agree. Like the chalk, I said on this show, the Astros, I think they were plus 450 at the time to win the World Series. Honestly, one of the better teams I think I've ever seen, dude, like complete everywhere. The rotation is phenomenal. They're a hitting lineup that they don't strike out. They take their walks. They're not even getting massive contributions from Jose Altuve or Tucker. And the bullpen is great. It's one of the better teams I've ever seen, Drew. Honestly,
I mean, legitimately, some of their like fifth and sixth relief pitchers would be like what the Phillies' second and third best guys out of the bullpen. I mean, someone mentioned Urquidy hasn't even pitched an inning this postseason. He would legitimately be the third best starter on almost every single one of these playoff teams. Not all of them, but the large majority of them. So yeah, I mean, you're right. They just have a crazy amount of depth. I do think the Phillies match up pretty well with them, at least for the first couple games of the series, at least with Nola and Wheeler. Like, you know, they're two legitimate aces and that are pitching up to their talent so far. So I don't think the Astros advantage is that huge early on, especially with the bullpen, because, you know, you obviously want to lean on a couple arms. That's what the Phillies have been doing, just kind of using one or two guys that they trust. And then what, Eflin is pretty much their third or fourth best relief pitcher, which should make people nervous. But, you know, if Nola can give you six tonight, and then you give Alvarado get him in there with maybe Jordan in a tough spot, they can get that matchup. It's not that huge of a disadvantage, but I feel like the further we get in this series, the bigger the Astros advantage will get.
I agree, and I know it seems so silly to even say it. It's like in my head, and then there's another voice that says don't even say it, but I'm gonna say it. It's like, how important are these first couple games for the Phillies, right? Like, they've been riding momentum. They've been hot. Talked on this show before about, you know, the Astros undefeated throughout. And then we've seen the Royals and the Rockies undefeated throughout going into the World Series. And then getting smoked in the World Series, like, early on. Just with that field and the home field advantage that the Phillies have and how good they've been at Citizens Bank, to go into Houston and maybe steal one or two there, I think would be, obviously, it's so significant maybe to steal one from Verlander. So tonight, Verlander, Nola, I saw you tweet this and you said not a lot of people are talking about it. And you're right. Not a lot of people are talking about this. Justin Verlander, his record in the World Series, 0-6, a 5.68 ERA, 39 strikeouts and 7 appearances in the World Series. We had three as a member of Detroit in 2006. There were two, and then one against San Fran. And I mean, the dude has always kind of given up home runs, but he's allowed 9 bombs in those 7 starts. He's allowed 35 hits. He hasn't walked a lot of guys, 14 walks, but the last time we saw him in the World Series in 2019 and 2 appearances against the Nats, as you mentioned earlier, and he got rocked in that last one. It's like 3 runs in the 2 starts, but I remember him giving up a couple big bombs. Does that play into anything tonight? No, it's just a weird little stat, and because he hasn't been that great either throughout this postseason.
He hasn't been that great. He had some issues with – he's definitely had, you know, a higher – home run rate in the playoffs than in the regular season. But again, you know, that goes back to 2006, and it's somewhat of a small sampling in terms of just the World Series. I think we're going to see that stat like 3 or 4 more times by first pitch tonight. I was just surprised that we haven't seen that everywhere. I assume they'll mention it on the telecast as well. But even over, you know, his postseason, over his career, he has almost 200 postseason innings, ERA of 3.55, 3.76 FIP, and 3.19 Sierra. So almost 200 innings is a pretty large sample. So he has been pretty good in the playoffs. You mentioned he got rocked by the Mariners. And honestly, the first couple innings, I was on his K prop against the Yankees, and I was definitely nervous. He seemed like, I don't know if he was having issues with something mechanically, either it was his release point with the slider, but he couldn't get it right. So I think Dusty even had the bullpen going in the 3rd or 4th inning. So it didn't look like it was going to be that long of a night. Something clicked for him. I don't know if Martin Maldonado helped him out, but he ended up striking out, I think, like 11, and that slider just started looking nasty, and I think he just found whatever was wrong. He corrected it. So he did, like, that gave me a lot of confidence. But before that 3rd or 4th inning, like you mentioned, even versus the Mariners, he just looked off so far in the playoffs.
What do you think about tonight? Before we get into who you think is going to win, what do you think about tonight? So I think, Tyler, if we have the board, we can check it up. I mean, it's a low total, 6.5, 7 in some spots. You know, Phillies are going to be dogs here, I think, in every game on the road. Probably even, you know, at home, it might be close to, what, say even, pick them kind of, maybe slight favorite Astros. We'll see how the first 2 games obviously go. You got Nola. You mentioned, I mean, if this series goes 5 or 6, you know, you're going to see Nola twice. You're going to see Wheeler twice. Those are things that are definitely going to happen in this series. And then the Astros, obviously, you know, Urquidy, maybe we see him a little bit and things like that. But Valdez and Javier, we're going to see those guys, no question. So, 6.3 ERA kind of jumps up off the page. It's that start against the Mariners. I think he had like 7 or 8 starts in the regular season against the Mariners, and he was almost perfect in like 6 of them, 6 or 7. There's one where he did get roughed up, but other than that, he was perfect in those outings. Astros minus 165 here, and yeah, you see the total at 6.5. What do you think about tonight?
First of all, I do think the Astros will pretty much will be favored in every game this series. It'll also depend. We'll see if the Phillies are able to pitch Nola or even Wheeler out of the bullpen if this series ends up going a little deeper, instead of having them pitch on the side in their bullpen session or whatever. Maybe we'll just see them, you know, in the action there. But as far as game one goes, you know, I do like the Astros here. It's a little difficult, right? Because if you have a huge edge on these games, and you're probably doing something wrong, right? There's only one game on the board. Right. I think the market is pretty tight. The board is pretty tight. I see a few minus 160s, which I kind of lean that way. Honestly, I wanted to play the Astros series and game one. It was a little too pricey for me, so I went ahead and bet a series prop. Astros win game one and the series, I think, at minus 115. You can find something in that range. And then again, I don't think I'll end up betting the Astros unless it maybe drops another 10 cents to minus 150, and I won't be able to stay away at that point. But even if the Astros do lose game one, I'll probably be coming back with Astros in the series. And I was also looking at, again, you know, these lines are tight. I wanted to play Nola under 5.5 strikeouts. Not too juicy at minus 120. I think he's going to finish around 5. So, but with that, you know, not a huge edge there again. So that's probably something I'm not going to play either, unless the market, you know, gives me an opportunity with some significant movement. But
yeah, both pitchers, I think, are at 5.5, right? And the Astros don't strike out. If they get to him early, they could potentially, you know, save him, as you mentioned, you know, because we're probably going to see a lot of Aaron Nola in this series. I gave Astros in 6 at plus, I thought it was, I can't find it now. I thought it was plus like 300. Obviously, to get that exact series, you're getting a little bit more, you know, money there, value. So it's like, pick the Astros and win the World Series, or you can pick them in an X amount of games and away you go. How many games do you give the Phillies?
Yeah, no, I played Astros in
five. They're not going to get swept. Or don't get swept. Win a game. Come on, win a game.
Right, it'll be the gentleman sweep. The Phillies should, you know, find one game, and I have them at, I think I got plus 500 for the Astros win in five. Okay. Again, that's not something I put in the sheet. I think we'll go into, you know, a couple more props in a bit, but I did put that Astros win game one and series at minus 115 in the bet tracker over at FTN Bets.
Okay. Let's visit World Series MVP props. Tyler, do you have that? World Series MVP props. Here you go. So Jordan up at the top, 6-1 L. Of course, if you're feeling the Phillies, right? I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know, you go Harper, or maybe you want to go down to a Nola or Wheeler or something like that. Maybe both of those guys are just spectacular. And if they are spectacular, I mean, you know, it's a good lineup here in Houston. So they'll certainly be there at the end of the day. Verlander 9-1, Tucker 10-1, Framber there at 11-1. Man, Pena at 17-1 really jumps out. Shout out to our guy, Josh Gross, who had it in the ALCS for MVP. I think he had a similar price, like 16-1 or 18-1 or something like that. Man, he's looked phenomenal. He doesn't look like a rook at all. He looks great at the dish. So he kind of stands out to me. And Alex Bregman stands out to me at 12-1 as well. I mean, there's a guy who has shown up under the big stage, bright lights, right? He just seems to always have a big hit in every series over the Astros runs over the past couple of seasons. What do you make of this list? Is there any value there? And Altuve's looked awful here, but maybe he gets going. I just don't feel like he doesn't have the power, I don't think, to win. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, you never know. Obviously, he has been slumping. He went, what, like 0 for 24, 0 for 25 in the postseason, but he could connect a couple long ones and get there. I agree with you. You know, this is not normally a market that, like, I'll actually put a bet out. I might bet something for fun, but that value on Peña was a little too hard for me to pass up. I went ahead and in the bet tracker, I think I got 18-1, and I bet a half a unit on that. I see it as low as 14-1 at this point, so be sure to do some shopping there. But yeah, no, I agree with you, man. He's just been great. He's hitting the two hole. He's looking like as good as he did back in April. And I also think, you know, this is one of those where you kind of need, you know, not only the numbers, but some sort of a narrative. And he's the guy that's, quote, replacing Correa. And he's looked great. Yeah. We saw him, you know, give his shout out to his mom rounding the bases against the New York series. He made a little heart and said that was for his mom rounding third. So, I mean, I think little stuff like that does make a difference. Now, if Jordan goes out there and you know, hits four dongs and is hitting 400, or Harper does that, I mean, they're probably going to win it there. But, you know, just like you said, there's not too much value there at the top, even if you do like Jordan and Harper. I would also suggest looking around. There's a lot of matchup props. Like, I know I saw in a couple books they have Bryce Harper, actually the dog to Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker was minus 190 to have more base hits this series than Harper. And, like, I'm a Tucker guy. Probably one of my biggest hot takes before the season, at least fantasy baseball, was I wanted Tucker over Harper. Now Harper got hurt. But I mean, that is a line that's like a little surprising to get Harper at plus 150. So I feel like if you are a Phillies fan, or if you do like Harper MVP, or even just have a good series, I think that's something you'd want to bet as well.
Dude, you and I are, and I always feel good when you come in with a pick like that, because we didn't chat before we got on here. And I have here my notes, plus 150 for Bryce Harper. Are you kidding me? Like, how could you not take that? 419 average. He's got a 1.35 OPS. He's been held hitless in just one game. I get it. Maybe they don't pitch him all the time in certain situations. Maybe they walk, and that's definitely an issue. But Tucker this season, I get 257 average is not the same player that he was a year ago. He's 6-for-28 here in the postseason, and he struck out 9 times. So he hasn't looked that great. How are we not going to take that in Harper? I like the over his 4.5 hits at minus 105 for the series. I like the over Bregman 5.5 hits at plus 125 for the series. I mean, I think the Astros are going to win, but good luck slowing this guy down, Harper. He is in the zone, and I think the only way he doesn't get 5 hits is if he just walk. If they, the Angels, what they did to, you know it, Barry Bonds, here you go. Right. You're just like bases loaded. We'll walk in a run. It doesn't matter. I don't know that the Astros go that route. But I have
maybe not to that length, but he's also the number one guy in their lineup that they have penciled in, that they're at least focusing on, and they have a plan to attack. And again, like, I know he's been great this postseason. He's going to face the best pitching staff that they've faced so far this playoffs, and maybe even this season. So I do think there's some value there. That's what got me not into a little bit of trouble, but I did spend a little bit more time and looking at some of those props without, you know, didn't have a game all week. So I spent more time maybe than I would have liked, you know, betting some of those for fun and just, you know, you mentioned this. I think I bet, will any player have more than 5.5 hits in this series? I think they took that one down. So just be sure to like shop around, because all these books are offering different stuff. It's not quite as big as the Super Bowl, but again, you'll probably find some lines that are pretty favorable.
I have one more long shot, and then we'll get you out of here. I got, I'm taking a look at the most hits, and Yuli Gurriel at 10-1. I know that's like, it's not a sexy name. And it was actually, I missed it. I saw 14-1 earlier in the week, and I was like, that's pretty cool. 14-1. Like, he's a good hitter, doesn't have a ton of power. But I was like, man, that's not bad. Now the value at 9-1, it's actually 10-1. Sorry. I think that's kind of dropped down a little bit, but he does have 11 hits here in the postseason. He's 30 at bats, 367. I mean, Harper leads the postseason with 18 hits. Machado and Profar are there next. But Yuli Gurriel, man, I just find he's a good hitter. I know you're not really feeling that one, but it's a little bit of a
He's hard to predict for me. I mean, he's really streaky, but you mentioned he's hitting 370, slugging 570. And I think I also saw a stat that he hasn't swung and missed at a single pitch this postseason. I think he's made contact. And we talked about the defenses a little bit early on. The Astros and Philly, surprisingly, their ground ball rate on infield defense was pretty similar, surprisingly. But the Astros do have their bigger advantage in outfield defense. And you mentioned Gurriel's just ability to get hits and make contact. So, man, you know, the Astros are going to be putting the balls in play, you know, more often than the Phillies. So that's, you know, maybe you can find a couple more hits that way. I don't hate it. I just don't have a strong opinion.
I know.
Really, one way or the other.
I was playing with you. And like you said, right, the books are so sharp. There's one game, trying to find some edges, kind of find a couple long shots here and there. But I think we do have a couple as well. Appreciate you, dude. We do have to get out of here. MLB Dream still giving picks. MLB picks for sure. So check him out on the Twitter machine and check out all of his work over at ftmbets.com. Enjoy the baseball, man. I know you're going to be in tune, and it should be a fun series. Let's get six games. Right. Let's get a little bit of drama. Let's have the Phillies win tonight. Get some drama. Six games and away we go.
Sounds good, man. Let's extend the series. Thanks, Meany.
Absolutely. Have a good weekend. We got some NFL picks and some NHL picks around on Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Keep her locked. Welcome back. And I agree, Daily Handle. Astros in six, but I'd love to see the Phillies get a couple W's. So I got a couple of week 8 NFL props. Set Bet Spike is going to come out a little bit later on today on Game Plus Network and our FTN Network YouTube page. And we'll have more of a feel with certain props. They're not all out. So these were the few that I noticed this morning that I liked. And it's a lot of running backs. Usually the running back props come out a little bit early. But A.J. Brown over 66.5 receiving yards. I think yesterday we showed the percentage of air yard leaders, and A.J. was number 2. And this is a really good spot this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have allowed a league-high 209 yards per game to wide receivers. There's been a lot that have gone over this number. Chase has had a buck 29. Aguilar has had a buck 10. 95 from Jacoby Myers. We had 101 from Amari Cooper, 74 from Corey Davis, a buck 71 from Gabe Davis, a buck 02 from Stephon Diggs, 95 from Chris Godwin, 75 from Khalil Shakir. We had 88 from Jalen Waddle, 72 last week from Tyreek Hill. 66.5 here for A.J. Brown is just too low. And then I'm picking on a lot of run defenses. You know, Raheem Mostert, Derrick Henry's on this list. I'm really just picking on, like, for example, the Texans, Rusty VOA, number 32 in the NFL. You want to hear Derrick Henry's last two games against the Houston Texans? 34 carries, 250 rushing yards. The other game, 22 carries, 212 rushing yards. We just saw Jacobs run all over this Texans squad. This is the dude. The offense runs through Derrick Henry. 20 plus carries is something that you can bank on. 98.5 is extremely high. We have him for over 100 in our projections, and Jeff Ratcliffe is super conservative with his projections. And Henry has hit the century mark in 3 straight games. Also, another team that struggles against the run, the Detroit Lions, 29th in rush DVOA. Raheem Mostert, he's the guy there as well. 69 plus rushing yards in 3 of his last 4 games, 14 plus carries in 4 straight. He's being used as a bell cow running back. Chase Edmonds is not really getting on the field. And Raheem Mostert had 5 targets last week, and he reeled in 4 of them for 30 yards. And as for Travis Etienne, I mean, this is his backfield now with James Robinson gone. This is a game happening in London. I have a lot of respect for the Denver Broncos defense, not for their offense, for their defense. It certainly is legit. But 67.5 here, this is something he's cleared in 3 straight games with Robinson on the squad. Last week, 14 for a buck 14, 10 carries for 86. The week before that, 10 carries for 71. The week before that one, and his receiving yard prop at 17.5 is super appealing for me as well. 22 plus receiving yards in four of his last six games, 12 targets in his last three, and five targets last week with James Robinson really not touching the field. This number is going to move up, guarantee it. Before Sunday, we'll probably see Travis Etienne in the low 70s or so. And I'd say this receiving yard number kind of gets to the 20-yard mark. I was looking at his catch prop. He's 2.5, but it's juiced at minus 150. So I'm going to stay away from that. Those are the four guys for me that I'm taking a look at, but we'll have a whole lot more over at Set Bet Spike. Another quick break, and I'll take a look at a picks against the spread. And we also have some NHL props around out Mean Streets back in a couple. Looking to keep things going in the NHL. Great day yesterday. Let's have another day. 5 for 6 on this show. I'm going to lead here with one of my favorite shot props of the night. It is plus money. It's Shane Gostisbehere of the Arizona Coyotes. Ooh, ghost. Love it. Tis the season. Plus 115 over at DraftKings. He has 4+ shots in 3 straight games and 5 of his 6 games this season. He's actually having a really good season. You know, I think people are slow to pick him up because they play with silly plus minus in their fantasy hockey leagues. Don't play with that silly stat. He's actually only a -4, but he's got 4 goals and 8 points here on the season, and he's averaging 23 minutes per game. That's something I like. He plays a lot. The Coyotes don't have a lot of shooters. He's manning that first power play unit. The Jets played last night, so maybe a little bit sluggish. And actually, Arizona's hung around with Winnipeg over the past couple years as well. Not that that matters, but Shane Gostisbehere over 2.5 shots at plus 115 over at DraftKings. A few other shot props that I like here and a couple player props, you know, in terms of points. Going right back to Jake DeBrus to hit the score sheet. Last night we had him a 2-unit play to have a point, and we had him at plus 172 for an assist. I'll tell you what, I was really sweating that out anytime there's a 2-unit play in the tracker. We got it pretty late. This is really all about Brad Marchand. Like, Jake DeBrus has been great. He's got 6 points over his last 6 games. He's on that top line with Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. But Marchand returned last night. My goodness, what a player, really. Shout out Halifax boy. I think he's actually from Hammonds Plains. Doesn't matter. Scotia kid. 3 points last night in his season debut. He had 2 goals. Jake DeBrus on that top line. I think he's going to hit the score sheet tonight. David Krejci didn't travel with the team, but they were rolling out 5 forwards yesterday, which is just also beneficial for him to have a point playing with Pasternak and on the power play and things like that. So Jake DeBrus going for an assist. He's a little bit juiced for a point, but I do like him to hit the score sheet tonight. Also like Jack Eichel for an assist at plus 122. A really good spot tonight against the Ducks. The Golden Knights are massive favorites here tonight. Anaheim has allowed the second most shot attempts at 5 and 5 per 60 so far this season, according to Natural Stat Trick, and they've allowed the most shots at 5 and 5 per 60, also inside the top 5 in scoring chances and high danger chances allowed. So I like Eichel not only to maybe get an assist playing with Chandler Stephenson, who's been really good this season, and Mark Stone, but also to have 4 shots on net. And then Kyle Connor, he's really close. Yesterday, we called a couple breakout goals. We had Austin Matthews, Timo Meier, and Kyle Connor. And Kyle Connor was close. I like the over 3.5 shots. He's also plus money for a goal tonight. I do think he finds the back of the net. Also a really good spot, right? I gave a little bit of love to Shane Gostisbehere, but he's not the best defensive defenseman, and he's their best guy with Chychrun out of the lineup. And Arizona's allowed the second most shots at 5 and 5 per 60, and they're also inside the top 5 in terms of shot attempts, expected goals against. They are number 1 in the NHL at 3.39. So again, a really good spot here for Kyle Connor. And then Brent Burns, just like Shane Gostisbehere, is somebody who plays quite a bit of hockey. He's averaging 23 minutes per game with the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina returns home after a lengthy road trip. He's on the number 1 power play. He's cleared 2.5 shots in 4 of his 6 games and 4+ shots in 3 of his past 4 contests. I got a couple more picks in our FTN bet tracker. You know, Nichushkin's on that board. He's not playing tonight. Just came down that he's going to miss tonight's game. Actually had the Avs in there as well on the money line at a good price. I don't know. I'd probably stay away from that. Nichushkin's been red hot. He's got 7 goals. I think he's got 12 points here to start the season. It probably will benefit like Nathan MacKinnon, probably 4.5 shots, or Arturi Lehkonen, somebody there. But the Devils have really pushed the pace this season with Nichushkin out. He's a big part of their offense, and he has been a big part of their offense. I'd shy away from the Avs, and maybe I'd consider, you know, a Jack Hughes, maybe 3.5 shots. You probably get a good price there, plus money for sure. We'll take a break, and we got one more segment here of Mean Streets. Going to go over some of my favorite picks against the spread, money line plays, and totals for week 8 of the NFL season. Back in a couple. So having such a good morning here. And Dream just is something he wanted to say on the show, but we got him out. We had to keep going. And he just told me what he was going to say. So I'll share it here with you guys. And he wrote in caps, thanks to the Mariners making the playoffs. The longest drought now belongs to your Angels, brackets, 8 years. Thanks for the reminder, Dream. Appreciate you, dude. My goodness, it's been bad. It's been bad. How do you not even sniff the playoffs with two of the best players in baseball and Trout and Ohtani? I can't handle it. Week 8 picks. Let's share them. Picks against the spread, money line, totals. This is what I'm thinking. What do we got? No, not that one. Do you have the other one? Other one with some picks? I could roll through it, I guess. I do have them. If you don't have it, it's all good. We had 3 against the spread, 3 money line stuff there. That's okay, Tyler. If you don't have it, we can roll through it. I do remember a little bit off the top of my head. So picks against the spread. I like the Raiders here this weekend, 1.5. Again, keep an eye on, you know, I think you can bet this maybe on Sunday if you wanted to. You could just do it. There we go. Thank you, dude. It was completely off. My goodness. Dream got me rattled. So San Fran just owns the Rams in the regular season. That's it. They just straight up own them. And I'm just going with data. I think San Fran wins the game. I don't care that it's on the road. It's not always like a feels like a road game for teams that go into Los Angeles with this kind of fan base with San Fran. Carolina, you know, if you didn't get the chance to jump on the 6 when we talked earlier in the week, I just don't think the Falcons are that good to be favored by 4 points. And hey, this is for the division. It could be a fun game this weekend. The Pats, 2.5-point favorites against the Jets. I don't think we'll see a lot of offense in that game. Wilson hasn't really impressed me. Quarterback play hasn't impressed me in New England either, but the best players on the field will be, you know, Ramondre Stevenson and some of the weapons that they have in New England. Bill Belichick does seem to own the Jets too, under 40.5. Don't think we'll see a lot of offense in the game in London, under 39.5. I do believe we'll see some offense in Arizona and Mini at 49. I like Washington, right? Sam Ehlinger is just a young buck here. I like Washington. I think he could take him at 3.5 if you wanted to. Titans is going to roll over the Texans. Maybe wait on the Raiders play there just to see if they're at full health. But I do believe that they're going to take care of business. The Saints haven't impressed me at all. Other than that, like my old buddy Gabe Morency says, you're on your own. Check out the FTN NFL betting show happening your way this evening at 6 o'clock my time, 5 Eastern for everybody else in the world. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.